The Widows of Broome, written by Arthur Upfield and read by Peter Hosking. Broome has no main street. It has no shopping centre, no shops fronted with plate glass display windows. There are no trams and no railway. Several airlines use the airport, but no one knows when a plane is due or when one is about to depart. Sometimes a ship arrives to be moored to the long jetty at high tide. When the tide goes out, the ship rests like a tired hog on the sand beside the jetty, and the loading is languidly carried out while the tide comes in and refloats the vessel. The town is situated behind coast sand dunes, sprawled on the flats north of the Dampier Creek. The streets are very wide, and all the houses sit down like old ladies wearing hoop skirts, and being far too ladylike to take the slightest notice of their neighbours. Every house occupied by the white population is of the bungalow type, and every house is protected with storm shutters, some even wire cabled to the ground, for when the summer willies blow they are apt to lift more than dust. The police station was a large house squatting at about 4 acres of straggly trees, dying grass and bare earth. The floor rested on piles 3 feet above ground, and the rooms were many and airy. At dinner, on the day Boney arrived at Broome, there sat at table the inspector and his wife, their son Keith, aged 14, their daughter Nanette, aged 13, and Inspector Bonaparte, alias Mr. Knapp. Inspector Walters carved the roast. His back was straight, his hands dexterously employed the bone-handled carving knife and fork with the bright steel shield. His expression was severe. He said nothing. Sensing the slight strain, Boney opened the conversation. "You mentioned a gentleman named Dickinson who drinks the acid from car batteries," he remarked. "What happens?" Young Keith opened his mouth to reply, but remained silent at a warning glance from his mother. "Hospital," replied Inspector Walters. "Old Dickinson is a queer character, but quite a decent old pot when sober. Receives a little money every quarter day, and that gives him about 2 weeks on the whisky. As he hasn't any credit at the pubs, after his benders he will, if given the opportunity, milk a car battery and drink the fluid. Naturally, when found, he has to be taken to hospital. Battery acid is bad for the stomach, so they say." "Wonder he doesn't die," observed Boney. "Too tough to pass out for keeps. He doesn't take it straight, mind you. 10 drops in a tumbler of water is the correct strength, I understand." "Poor old thing," murmured Mrs. Walters. "They paint him blacker than he really is. He's been quite a gentleman. He was very rich at one time in his life. He owned an estate in Hampshire, England, and an ocean-going yacht." "Been living in Broome long?"
50 years. What finally broke him was the Willie of March 1935. 21 luggers and 140 lives were lost, and old Dickinson's remaining fortune went down with 3 of those luggers." Walters snorted. "I've been asked to move him out of town, but I won't do it. The only harm he does is to himself. You can't tell a man to move out of town when the nearest town is 130 miles to the north, and the next nearest 300 miles to the south."
"All the kids like him," edged in young Keith. "Tells us yarns about foreign places and his adventures among the Indians in South America."
"Oh," murmured Boney, "that's interesting."
"Yes, and I don't see why old Bill should lecture us about him and tell us not to speak to him. Old Dick..."
"How many times have I told you not to call your headmaster old Bilge?"
irascibly demanded Walters.
"I've a good mind to write and tell him what you call him. Here's your mother and I scraping and saving to give you a good education, and you go around saying gist for just and gunner for going to. Anyway, you'll have much for which to answer tomorrow.